Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I don't even know how we're going to get through a show today. We are so excited about tonight's game. The New York Jets and the New England Patriots. I mean, I can hardly contain myself.
It's just unreal. I can't believe that this is the game we get tonight. It's
wow.
Unreal. It's so exciting.
And if that's not good enough for you, we got the Stanford-Syracuse game tomorrow. It's going to be tough to focus on work for anybody today.
Yep, I'm with you.
It's just tough.
I'm with you.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Some encouraging stuff out of the Steelers practice report yesterday. You're not going to find this in print, but Isaac Seumalo was out on the field. He was stretching, so that is a step in the right direction. He was listed as a DNP, did not practice for those uninitiated. Russell Wilson limited. Some of the video made it seem like he was very limited. You had Kyle Allen practicing rollouts, Justin Fields practicing rollouts, and then you had Russell Wilson just taking two-step drops, let go of the football, and kind of like testing out the calf. Roman Wilson practiced in a limited capacity. I think that's a good sign. But we're not starting there. When you look at the injury report, big deal, potentially. Something big could be brewing, maybe. And that's that quarterback, Justin Herbert, did not practice for the Los Angeles Chargers yesterday, Dorn. And he got banged up in the football game that they won over the weekend against Carolina. And I don't know that he's going to be 100% if he plays. This is a guy that's mobility is massive. He rushed for darn near 100 yards the last time the Steelers played him. So you could look at this and you could say, man, what a break. You're either going to get a Justin Herbert who can't move around, or you might get Easton Stick in this football game. That should be a good thing, right? Wrong. I want to face Justin Herbert, mm-hmm. Doran. And I'm usually not that guy. We've had this conversation before. Like 2008 Steelers. Would you rather have played Tom Brady and beat the Patriots on the way to the Super Bowl? No. I went the easiest path possible. That's usually how I feel. Stack wins. Nobody asks how. They ask how many. But I know that this could be Justin Fields' last best shot to grab the reins of the Steelers' starting quarterback job. And if you play Easton Stick, I think the game's going to look a lot like it did when Bo Nix was the quarterback. So I want Justin Herbert to play. I want the Steelers to think that they have to put up some points, and I want to see them allow Justin Fields to be the guy to go out there and have to put up some points. But if Herbert is not going to play and it's Easton Stick, you're just going to hand the ball off 75 times.
Isn't that what they're going to do in the first place? Like, that's their motto. That's their thought process. They want to run the football. They're just like the Steelers. I mean, Justin Herbert throughout the first two games, 31 for 46 and 274 yards, three touchdowns and one interception. Like, he's not the Justin Herbert that we've seen over the years
you're
where
right.
He's just letting it air out. So I see where you're saying, where you want to see a quality top quarterback in the league and see what the defense has and kind of get that measuring stick of what your defense can bring to the table. And can Justin Fields complement that in a way? Can he do the same things and have to go back and forth? But I don't think that we're getting the same Justin Herbert as we think. So regardless, I think that they have one motto that they want to do is run the football. I don't think it really matters, honestly.
They have scored 48 points in two games.
Now, let me say this. Let me rewind real quick. Not that it doesn't matter. Justin Herbert is Farley.
Chris
Farley. I don't even know if I'm using the word right. Better than Easton Stick.
No doubt. The game
it
plan
matter, so.
May well be the same.
Right.
But one guy is capable of making every single throw on the football field, and the other guy sounds like a brand of hockey stick. Like, yeah. he just a dude,
he's
right?
Like he's like a melding of like a baseball bat and a hockey stick.
Yes, Easton Stick is just a tremendous name. Like, oh, I'm going to Dick's today. What are you doing? I'm picking up an Easton Stick. And I would guess at the end of this season, you can get an Easton Stick in the NFL for darn near pretty cheap. Maybe for the price of an Easton Stick at Dick's, but I do digress. They have at least scored 24 points a game. Now, one of those games was against Carolina, and I mean, you kind of throw that one out there because everyone's going to have their way with Carolina. Not only the worst offense in the league, but also the worst defense in the National Football League. I think that with Easton Stick, the game plan will be the same. But I don't think you can still stack the box with Justin Herbert in
right.
there. even though they've got no wide receivers that make you go, ooh, like Ladd McConkey, oh, God, oh, no. They don't have guys. They're one of the few teams in the NFL that you would look at and go, okay, their wide receiver room, their weapons are worse than the Steelers. At least they're, yeah, they're wide receivers. But with Justin Herbert, you have to play the pass, too. And so I think you got to try to stop the run with seven. Not to get like two in the weeds on anything. And you're going to put up more points with Justin Herbert than you would with Easton Stick. If Easton Stick's the starting quarterback, I think the Steelers say first to 10 wins.
Mm-hmm.
With Justin Herbert, you might need to score 20.
Right.
And they haven't scored 20. And I want to see them score 20. And I don't know that they would want to score 20 unless they have to score 20. So I kind of do want to see Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't so much worry about this, but I know Steelers fans do, Doran. Like, nobody buys the Steelers right now. I don't know that a lot of people buy the Chargers right now. If they're 3-0 and they just beat Easton Stick, I don't think anybody's going to take the Steelers seriously. But if you beat the Chargers with Justin Herbert, maybe some of the talk around the league will be, okay, they might have something spunky there in Pittsburgh.
What if Justin Fields has, you know, because yesterday, what did they say? The dam's about to break.
Yes.
Like, that's what Arthur Smith said to his team, to his offense. And a lot of players, reiterated that whenever they're doing their interviews. What if Justin Fields goes out there and it is Easton Stick, but Justin Fields throws for 3 touchdowns and 300 yards? What if it's that? And they win the game. You're gonna say, oh well, they had Easton Stick, or is it Justin Fields going against a pretty good defense and actually opening everything up?
That's a great question. For me, all I want to see is Fields do some stuff we haven't seen Fields do.
Same,
right? But I don't think they'll even give him the opportunity if it's backup quarterback v Justin Fields. I think it'll be, we're gonna run the ball 45 times, and you're gonna be able to do that. Because they're not going to threaten. They're not going to score points. Like, J.K. Dobbins has been MVP level good. 9.9 yards a carry. This guy has been unstoppable. Okay, if Easton Stick's the quarterback, he's going to be stoppable. Because you're going to put 15 guys in the box. Mm-hmm. And you're going to stop the run. You're going to say, all right, Easton Stick, why don't you go throw it up to Ladd McConkey? And he can't, and they won't. So you can win the game 7-3. But if Justin Herbert's in there, I think you start the game, and yeah, you still are a run-based outfit, and you still want to run more probably than you throw, but you might have to open it up a little bit more knowing that maybe it's 20-17 that wins the game. So I kind of want to see Justin Herbert in this one, and I wonder if people agree. 412-928-9370. If I knew that Justin Fields was going to be the starter for 17 games, no matter what, then yeah, I'd like to see Easton Stick because I want to put another win in my back pocket.
Right.
But I think the only way they'll let him throw the ball a little bit and take some chances is if they feel pressed to score points. And I think they would feel pressed to score points if Justin Herbert's out there.
I don't know if I'm hoping this or I'm feeling this. I don't know if it's an intuition or it's a hope, it's a dream, it's a fantasy that I think that they're going to open up the offense on Sunday. I feel like it's going to look different. I feel like that whenever I heard that the dam's about to break, like Arthur Smith is a guy, you know, that everything he says he does mean. Like, he's not hiding anything. It's not window dressing. It's not, you know, for shtick. Like, if he says something, he's probably going to do it. I know time will tell, but I just have a weird feeling. Maybe it's a hope. Maybe it is a true intuition that things are going to look different. I think that they take the game to the Chargers. Because I think that they have a lot of, I think Tomlin has a lot of respect for Harbaugh. They have a lot of respect for what they're doing over there. And they know that they need to figure out a different way to win football games now that you're at home. And you talk about September football, it's getting towards the end of September, and it's time to start developing the next portion of your team and your offense. And I think that has to happen Sunday. Like the whole mentality, and I agree with their mentality, it was very methodical and very thoughtful of how they approached the first two games on the road.
Sure.
With young offensive linemen, with the backup quarterback. I get that, and I commend them on doing that, but there, you know, if you look at the big picture, how do you win in the playoffs? How do you win in the NFL? You got to score. And I think that has to start Sunday. Don't know if it's a hope or don't know if it's a true intuition, but I just have a weird feeling that it's going to change.
Well, let's spend more time on that. I'm happy you bring this up. George Pickens said yesterday, the dam is about to break. So 412-928-9370. Do you agree with Doran? Do you agree with George Pickens? Do you watch the Steelers offense and go, they're close? Do you watch the Steelers offense and say, yeah, that dam is about to break? 412-928-9370. Let's do this early. We never do this. Best caller on this gets Sebastian Maniscalco tickets at PPG Paints Arena on September 26th. He's a comedian, Doran tells me.
Yes.
Sebastian Maniscalco, 412-928-9370. Let's get a couple of things going here. Do you want to see Justin Herbert on Sunday? 412-928-9370. And do you think the dam's about to break offensively for the Steelers? 412-928-9370. Let's get your calls. We'll talk to you when we come back. It is 6:10. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you.
Kind of like he said, negated by penalties. So I feel like the dam's already, you know, kind of breaking. You know, penalties just can't happen. You know, we got to have a play a clean game, but then again, also let the guys play on the field.
All right, bad audio. That's my fault. That was George Pickens, and he said, and I quote, "I feel like the dam is already kind of breaking. Penalties just can't happen. We have to play a clean game, but then again, also let the guys play on the field." So George Pickens thinks the Steelers' offense is close, and as Doran astutely observed in the first segment, he wasn't the only Steelers' offensive player to say that yesterday, which makes you feel like it came from Arthur Smith, Mike Tomlin, the dam is about to break. Do you agree with that? 412-928-9370. We got some calls lined up. We'll get to you coming up in a moment, I promise. Mike, Bruce, BC, we'll get to you guys. I can see the argument. Absolutely, I can see the argument. And I'll give my quick synopsis here, Doran. First game, 6 scoring drives. 2-3 and outs, which is a low number. They moved the ball on the ground. Justin Fields had his biggest throw, biggest play of the game, negated by a crap offensive pass interference call. Then you think about the second game. His best throw of the game negated by a holding call. And it was a BB. It was a hell of a throw. They would have had more yardage if some of these balls that I thought Justin Fields dropped into the bucket were completions instead of PI calls. And they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. They also had a touchdown taken off the board by a bad pick play call. They ran the ball effectively in the first half. They easily could have been up 17-21-0 in the first half. So if you want to make the argument that this dam is about to break, I can see it. And is that what you're feeling?
Well, my synopsis is just almost exactly like yours, but I'll just go a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I feel like it is about to break and why I feel like this game is so important, why Justin Fields and this offense is going to break out, is because of that connection. Like, I could see, like, if there were just penalties and, say, Justin Fields was missing those throws to George Pickens, it's like, oh, man, they're not close. But he's hitting those plays. Like, those plays that are called back, like the push-off, you know, that wasn't a push-off. That was just an NFL play against Atlanta. Like, they connected. The play that he rolled out against Denver, where it got called back where Broderick Jones was holding, they connected. If those plays weren't connecting and Justin Fields was throwing the ball out of bounds or he was missing George Pickens or George Pickens was dropping the ball, then I'd say that they're a little farther away than right now than I feel. But the fact that they're on the same page and what they're connecting that way, I think that we're very, very close. Like, those are big-time plays that are being made, just being called back by officials.
Yes, and George Pickens talked about those two guys and the connection they have. I'm not going to play the audio because the last audio was bad, and that, again, is my fault. He said about Fields, Pickens did, "He's a dog on and off the field. We're confident in him. Me personally, I've played with 4 different QBs here. Jay's the first one who can take over a game. We rocking with him." And so to that, Pickens has seen some bad offense. He saw some good offense at the end of the season with Mason Rudolph. He knows what it looks like when he's getting open and not getting the football. Mm. That's not what this is. Like, they do seem to have a synergy. They do seem to have a chemistry. And I am feeling the best I've ever felt about George Pickens, Doran.
Yeah.
And I know that the statistics would not indicate that he dominated the last game, but he did.
Yeah, he did.
Patrick Surtain was all over him a couple of times. Penalty called at one particular moment in the game. Would have had a touchdown. Would have had the 51-yard completion. He dominated a game as much as he can for a guy who had, what, 26 yards?
Mm-hmm.
And if this offense is going to go, it's going to be because George Pickens is making plays. He's their best playmaker. They do seem to have that. So I don't know that the dam breaking for them looks like the New Orleans Saints.
No.
Right? Or like the 2007 Patriots or the Killer Bees Steelers. But the dam breaking for them, I think you grade on a curve. I think it's relative to what it's looked like the last few years. And I do think we're seeing elements of an offense that can be average, which I think is the dam breaking. But I wonder where people come down on this at 412-928-9370, because there's another fact. They've scored one touchdown in two games. Mike in Fort Wayne leads us off today. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Before I talk about the dam breaking, I just wanted to say something about the Adidi response. And I think I'm wondering if we maybe missed something there, because even though it was kind of an awkward response, Malzi prefaced the question by saying how Russell Wilson is really positive on the sidelines, very supportive, great rah-rah. And then she starts off by saying, I disagree with part of what you said. And I'm wondering, I don't know what else she'd be referencing other than the Russell Wilson comment.
We're going to play it a little bit later on in the show, Mike, because there is a bigger topic there as part of that. But you might have stumbled onto one, too.
Yeah, and they also talked about somebody else, too, about somebody else on the sidelines. And I think that she might have been talking about the first part of the question, and then Malzi went into a second part, and she said,
yes,
disagree.
Okay, so as far as the dam breaking, I think it will. And I think you're going to see the dam breaking for a lot of teams, because I think now the way they handle the preseason, a lot of these starters aren't playing. So I think the first two or three games of the regular season, we're still seeing preseason football.
We are.
So I think that third or fourth game, you're going to see a lot of teams pop. And I think the Steelers are going to be one of them.
What's popping look like for them, though, Mike, in your opinion?
I think Freiermuth. I still think Freiermuth, if you just say, hey, just run Deontay Johnson's routes that he's run the last 3 years, I think he's going to have a big year and run across the middle. I think we'll see a lot more across the middle this game. I think they're starting to feel more comfortable with Justin. I think they're going to let him open up a little bit this game. I really do.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call.
What George Pickens, and what we said before the call, before Mike, and great call by Mike. He always brings it.
I love time. Mike. Yeah.
Me too, Fort Wayne. He feels like Justin Fields can take over a game at any point, right? That's what George Pickens said. Like, that's Lamar Jackson-esque. Like, that's how we feel. When we talk about Lamar Jackson over the last 2 years that we've been doing this, it's like Lamar Jackson can take over a game at any point, regardless if he's throwing or he's running. Like, that's what you worry about. For George to say that about Justin Fields, I was like, man, I was thinking, you know what? He could.
Mm-hmm.
He really could.
He did in Chicago.
If it broke down, if everything just broke down and they needed to win and he needed to make some plays, like, he can do that. Like, it may not be the offense that you're looking for, throwing boom, 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 boom. But, like, if something breaks down, I mean, my man could just – he could run the ball all the way down the field if he wanted to.
Yes.
So he's right. And that is something that you don't want to – turn your back on, because, and then you have the connection with George too. So if this does open up a little bit on Sunday, I don't know about Russ.
I know.
That's kind of where I'm at now. Like, I've been wanting to see Russ, but you don't want to mess that connection up with George and Fields. And if things do break down and you have to get a first down or make a play, like, he can do that.
Well, and I think he's only scratching the surface using his legs.
Right.
And hey, they don't want him to put the ball in harm's way throwing the football. Okay, but is it that risky to run around? Like, I know he's a guy who has fumbled before. I think most of that has been because he holds onto the ball a long time and takes some weird hits in the pocket. And, like, that's when he's putting the ball on the ground. I don't see him putting the ball on the ground in the open field.
Mm-mm.
Like, I there's obviously going to be risk. He also seems like a smart guy who knows when to slide, when to get down. He can protect the football, not have to throw it in the middle of the field with Derwin James. Maybe he's Jason Bourne this week.
Right.
But can you run around? Can you have 70 yards rushing? Of course he can. Of course he can. And if he would do something like that, throw a touchdown or two and not turn it over, I don't know how he'd go back to Russ Wilson. And we saw it on the penalty play with Broderick Jones holding on the rollout that you were talking about before, Doran. I just have visions dancing in my head of pockets break down. He's keeping his eyes down the field. Like, trying to keep up with George Pickens for 4 or 5 seconds while Justin Fields is running around. Like, I think there's a lot of big plays that are still out there for that, where he's running around. And, I mean, you got to run around with George Pickens for 5 seconds? I don't think so.
And then underneath, I mean, Pat Freiermuth would be open, too. I mean,
he had a nice play last week, too, Freiermuth. And so you have won two games. We have seen glimpses from the offense, and their second-best pass catcher really hasn't gotten involved all that much. another reason why you might say the dam is breaking. 412-928-9370. We'll take some more calls on this. We got Bruce and Hopwood, BC and Homewood, more callers coming in. Do you think the Steelers are about to have a good offensive performance? Do you think, like George Pickens says, that the dam is about to break? And then another question, do you want to see Justin Herbert on Sunday? 412-928-9370. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. The question there will be, is the dam about to break? Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened. Give us a ring in the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Steelers have one touchdown in two games, yet they're 2-0. George Pickens says the dam is already kind of breaking. Sean tweets, 520 total yards of offense and 31 points through two games doesn't exactly scream the dam is already kind of breaking. Well, watch games. Yeah. Watch games. A touchdown called back. So they'd have two touchdowns. They had a 51-yard pass called back where I know people have said and argued that if Broderick Jones doesn't hold, that play gets blown up. I don't think so. If he lets go right as Justin Fields is getting to the edge, you've already set your block. Like, you just let go, and I think the play still happens. You got a little handsy there, did Mr. Broderick Jones. So I do happen to think they're close. We're seeing things from Arthur Smith, too, that we hadn't seen from Canada. And I keep bringing up these two examples because I think they are important. And really, there's three. Game one, they opened it up right before halftime. And you had the Fields throw to Pickens on the throwback. They would have kneeled on the football the last 2 years. Another one, the pick play. That's not in the playbook before. And it's something that everyone takes advantage of in the NFL, and they hadn't over the last couple of years. So that's in there. And the Darnell Washington split wide. Like, that's just creative offensive play calling. And there's going to be more of that. Plus, all the penalties negated some stuff. I mean, I think it was six penalties for 83 yards offensively. I can absolutely see where George Pickens is coming from on all this.
And the multiple personnel, too. Like, the different personnel. You didn't see that. And whenever you and Arthur Smith knows that there's, you know, a receiver room that isn't, you know, what it should be in the NFL. I'm sure he's aware of that. And I think that he thinks he still can win because he uses personnel to his strength, and that's why you see four tight ends. That's why you see three tight ends and them doing different things. So that's where, you know, if you watch the games, you can understand that things are unraveling. It's just, when is it going to actually be executed?
Yeah, because...
And I think it's going to be Sunday.
Yeah, and you can see how Arthur Smith, with every passing game, would probably trust Justin Fields more and more.
Yeah.
He's done what's asked, so why wouldn't you keep putting more on his plate? Call more plays where you feel confident that he can execute. I do think this is the game. I think if they don't have penalties in this game, if they clean that up and they're going to have officials there all week, like, I think we'd be having a different conversation today. I think they would have broken out. I think they would have put up more than 21 points in the last game. They shot themselves in the foot time and time and time again, and then they ratcheted the thing back in the second half because they knew that Bo Nix wasn't going to score points. If Justin Herbert plays in this game, I don't think you would see the Steelers go into their shell in the second half, even if they got a lead, because you're thinking, okay, we need to put this game away because Justin Herbert he hasn't been this year, but he can be special. I think the dam's about to break, which reminds me of that Linkin Park song. Do you like Linkin Park?
Sure. Which one?
The one where One Step Closer, I think it's called.
How's it go again?
Everything you say to me takes me one step closer to the edge.
Good football song.
And I'm about to break.
Yep.
412-928-9370. Is the dam about to break? BC and Homewood, hello.
Yeah, they're. I believe that it's going to be not very good if Herbert plays, because he's an accomplished quarterback. And I believe that Justin Fields, if we get behind by two scores, Justin Fields probably going to fumble once and throw a pick once. And I think Steeler Nation's probably going to turn on him.
BC, you're not a Justin Fields believer.
As long as you babysit him, fine. But I think that the pressure is going to be so great, having to play in front of these Steeler Nation fans for the first time. And if they get behind, I'm just saying hypothetically, if they get behind by two scores and he has to press and he can't find nothing, but he's trying to make a play in a small hole. He's gonna be like he was in Chicago. They got to still babysit him. I don't think they're going to open up they'll open up the offense. But the question is he capable of making the plays? One thing about Justin Herbert, you know he can make plays. He's an accomplished quarterback. And now they got a running game with 3 point, whatever, you know, not 10. I know they're not going to have 10 yards, but they're going to have something. They got to balance it out. But I would not want him playing. I would go with that backup in a heartbeat, baby.
I'm putting BC on hold. He might win the Sebastian Maniscalco tickets.
He brings up one of the best points I've thought of in a while, and I want to get your thought on it right now. Do you think for quarterbacks of the Steelers, it's harder to play at home than it is on the road?
Why?
Because of pressure. Because of pressure of their own of Steeler Nation. Like, think about it. And then you go on the road, and then you have Steeler fans on the road, but they're not Steeler fans that are here. They're Steeler fans that are probably living in that city, and they get hyped up no matter what because they want to see the Steelers for the first time maybe in years.
They just want to see a dub.
So, what's the pressure on the road? You're not getting the pressure from the opposing fans. Whenever you're here, and like, it's always who's next. With Kenny, it's always with Mitch. It's always Kenny. With Kenny, it's always Mason. With, you know, Ben is different, but like, the pressure of having to perform at home in Pittsburgh, I think, is higher than on whenever the Steelers have to play on the road for the quarterback position. He's absolutely right. Like, the pressure of having to make a play if they're behind and he doesn't say he throws an interception, they'll boo him out of the stadium and they'll be like, where's Russ?
I would hope that he bought up enough equity through two games to not hear it, but I don't think he has.
Because
every Twitter poll we put out there, would you rather see Russ or would you rather see Justin Fields when Russ is healthy? At worst, it's 50-50, or at best, depending on how you look at it. Like, the fan base is still split on Justin Fields. And we've seen it in hockey all the time. Penguins play different at home than they play on the road. They want to go Harlem Globetrotters, things like that. I buy that. We heard Mason Rudolph, they chant for his name, Fire Canada last year. We heard it with Phil Jurkovic.
I think it's harder to play here than it is on the road for quarterbacks.
Yeah, you start throwing the ball all over the place.
Yes.
You start sailing passes or throwing them out of bounds. You might hear some rumblings for Russ, even if he's the emergency quarterback.
Especially if you go 3-and-out, even for Arthur Smith. If you go 3-and-out, boo! What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
You go 3-and-out on the road, you're just like, all right.
It is a good point. And I do think these teams are so similar. They want to run the ball. They hadn't thrown the ball at all. Like, you look at Justin Herbert's numbers on the season in two games, it looks like what he used to do in one game. 3 touchdowns, a pick, 31 for 46. Like, that used to be what he did every single week. In his career, I think he averaged 278 yards a game.
A game, yeah.
But here's the difference in the teams, I think. Jim Harbaugh, if he needs to unleash his quarterback, I think has total and complete faith that he can do that. And I don't know that the Steelers are there on Justin Fields. I know George Pickens buys it. We heard him talk about it. I don't know that the coaching staff says that. Like, behind in a game, oh, we have faith. We know what's going to happen. If Los Angeles is down 7 points in the fourth quarter and they need to abandon the run, it's not their ideal circumstance, but I think they have more faith in their guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference in the teams. And he can just let it fly. He can just let it fly. You're right. Justin Fields, buddy, you're kind of playing for your career. Right?
Yes.
And now you're at home. You're expected to perform. You're going to hear it if you don't. Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. And BC. Should we give BC the tickets?
Yes.
BC, you get the Sebastian Maniscalco tickets, PPG Paints Arena, on September 26th. Congratulations to you, sir. Coming up next, the similarities between these two teams, as just discussed, are there. There's also a goofy similarity between these two head coaches. We'll explain when we come back. Pat Bostic joining us for 2 hours, coming up at 7 o'clock. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Quick tweet, Doran. The fans' negativity around the Steelers was created by you hosts on the Fan, Crowley. You've been more positive this year, but the culture has been created by the host of these shows the Yinzers listen to daily. That's a fact. Go back and listen to the last 2 years of shows. All right, so real quick. Steelers went 19-16 combined the last 2 years, which is decidedly average. They missed the playoffs 1 year. They made it the other year. They got their ass beat in the playoff game. What's different this year? They're undefeated.
Yep.
Hope that helps. Use the old noggin. All right. I don't like the Harbaughs. I like Jim more than John. I think Jim is more like Tomlin than he is like John. I think he is more a Mike Tomlin kind of head coach than a John Harbaugh head coach.
Why don't you like John?
Because he's a Raven head coach.
Oh, that's what, okay.
He got a stupid face. I didn't like Brian Billick
Jim
either.
Jim has a stupider face than John.
Twitter poll. Who's got a stupider face? Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh? They could not look more like brothers, though.
They look, I guess.
And they look just like their dad.
Yes.
Like, they didn't have to go all paternity test. What's that show? We used to watch back in the day when we were sick home from school. Yeah. Jerry Springer.
Oh.
They didn't have, you are not the father. Yeah, the blood test could say you're not the father. You're the dad. But the reason why I think Harbaugh and Tomlin, Jim Harbaugh and Tomlin are more similar than Jim and John is because of things like this.
What about his coaching style or what about his kind of like teaching philosophy lends itself to such good like running production?
He's a great coach. I mean, one of the best I've ever been around. You know, like Moses, I'm gonna die leaning on my staff. Greg Roman, Jesse Minter, Ryan Fick, and those coordinators are, you know, in my opinion, some of the best in the business.
Like Moses, I'm gonna die on my staff. Meanwhile, Mike Tomlin on Tuesday.
You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
They're both certifiably insane.
I see what you're...
You know what I mean?
I never really realized that. That's funny.
It makes... It's fun.
Yeah, they're characters.
They are... Thank you.
They're characters, but they're head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jim Harbaugh's definitely a character. Like, even in... I mean, I told you a story, and Delanie Walker told me that he... They went out to practice one day, and there was a quarterback warming up in full pads. It was Harbaugh, and he played scout team quarterback, and it was live. He was their coach.
That's insane. Like, he'll wear gloves,
yes,
and he'll run routes. Like, and he'll wear his khaki shorts, his khaki pants, all the way up to, like, his nipples. And I always thought that kind of stuff, you know, only really resonates in college, but you can't argue with his success.
No.
I don't think he's ever had a losing season. I'd have to go back and look just to make sure, but he went to a Super Bowl, went to another NFC championship, then he goes to college, wins a national championship. Jim Harbaugh is a hell of a freaking coach.
Stanford,
he did there?
As a player?
You don't win at Stanford. As a player, so he commands respect.
I mean,
he came up here in a playoff game, darn near beat the Steelers.
I don't think anybody has the resume that he has. Ever? No.
If he wins a Super Bowl, and he was close.
Very close. Loses to his brother.
Loses to his brother, which that stung at the time because I didn't want to see the Ravens win a championship. If he wins a Super Bowl, like, that doesn't happen. Like, it happened for Pete Carroll, and they're kind of cut from the same cloth, I think. Pete Carroll
wasn't
looked
a
at,
player, though.
Right? That's the difference. And Pete Carroll's looked at as a player's coach.
Yes.
And, like, when they drafted DK Metcalf, and DK Metcalf's walking around with his 47 abs, and then there's Pete, let me take my shirt off. Yeah. I'll show you what I got going on. That's kind of a Jim Harbaugh thing. I think Harbaugh's a heck of a football coach. But the shtick, I don't even think is shtick. And, like, Tomlin, I don't think it's a shtick. I think the way he talks to the media, you know, he might package it a little bit different for his team, but you'll hear his teammates, or his players, I should say, parrot, repeat, ditto, all the things that Tomlin says throughout the week. It takes all kinds in the NFL. I just think these guys this week in particular, like, I want Tomlin to drop something at postgame. I want to hear Harbaugh drop something at halftime, and because they're just, I think they're great for the game. I do. I'm happy Jim's back in the NFL.
Me too.
And he ran away from that Michigan situation.
Which, yeah, well, it was bad.
Someone texted in Maury Povich. Didn't Jerry Springer just recently die?
I think so.
R.I.P.
From Cincinnati.
Someone said, Maury Povich, not Springer, you dunce. Now, they both did. I thought Springer did the same thing. But he didn't go, you are not the father.
Right, no. That was just more like he was a mediator.
I had someone I went to college with and worked at WVU News with who worked on the Jerry Springer show for like a decade.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what she did, but I'm sure she's got some stories.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Like, we saw what went out over the air. I can only imagine.
How about how sick we are as just Americans? That we just, you know, if you're home during that time of day, like we're watching Jerry. It was like WWE.
And they just beat the hell out of each other on stage.
I mean, it was scripted.
Yes.
But like, we didn't think that it was. We thought it was real. Like, crazy. What are we doing? Wasting time.
What are we doing? Just a sick world we're living in.
Sick.
Sick people. All right, Pat Bostick going to join us from 7 o'clock until 9. He was texting us during that Steeler game on Sunday. He has some thoughts on Justin Fields, and I'm sure he'll share them on the air. Also, there was another football game last weekend that I'm guessing he's going to bring up. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com.